Hi, Decoders. This week, we're examining all the ways that we sabotage our own peace. Ooh la la, spicy.
Hi, I'm Kieran Trace. Welcome to Humans Decoded, a story of hobbits, fairies, elves, dwarfs, gnomes, and humans. If you get lost at any point, there is a deep dive on all the different avatars in episode one. It includes notes. Thank you for joining us in a fun little chat about the vast potential of our human makeup.
Hi, Leela. Hi, Cammy.
Hi, Cam. Hi, Kieran. Hi, Decoders.
All the love to you and yours and ours. And here we are in our virtual studio.
Oh man, this sure is spicy. Like, let's fucking do it. Let's rip the band-aid off of this one and pop the bubble off. Once I'm enlightened, I won't have to deal with my bullshit anymore. Like, let's look at all the ways we sabotage ourselves, especially when things are good. Because it seems like such an absurd thing to do. Like, why would you do that? Why would you sabotage yourself when it's good? But you know what? I can watch it in myself at times when it's really good and things are really alive and delicious and fulfilling. There are these little contractions. They're very hard to catch, though. The little contractions that are like, oh no, too much. Let's go, you know, almost like let's crawl back into a little bit of a smaller shape, a shape that's a little bit more familiar to me. So never mind all that fulfillment business.
Yeah, never mind. Not for me.
Exactly.
I can think of an example of exactly this just the other day when it was three of us watching the most like breathtaking sunset, views of the ocean and mountains and like this perfect temperate climate and a breeze and the first couple of like stars twinkling out. And I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, hey, I'm going to go make a smoothie. Like, who wants a smoothie? What flavor do you want in your smoothie? Like, I'm just going to leave and go make a smoothie. Blah, blah, blah. And then Kieran almost got caught up in it. She was like, I suppose I would want some strawberry and blah. And she was like, wait, Cammy, notice this is your habit to run. And she caught me. It was true. And I can think of a dime a dozen of examples where there's just this intimacy descending and it's like it's about to kind of caress you and then this unconscious knee-jerk reaction to be like bye.
Yes, I could feel exactly that when I was surfing at sunset in Pismo in California. It was the most effortless surf I've ever had because, you know, the tide was low, so I didn't have to paddle out. I could just plop myself on the board and the wave would gently carry me towards the shore and I would get up and feel like I'm surfing. And it was so, so, so delicious. And the sunsets in Pismo, I feel like they're always magical. Like the colors are unbelievable. And as I got out of the water, back to my truck, out of my wetsuit, I was still watching the ocean, mesmerized by the colors and the sunset. And then I saw fucking dolphins. Like, can you believe it? Just right there, right at the beach, playing in the waves. And I was like, this is a lot. So are you kidding me? Kind of like, I have to go home now. I need to go back to the house. It's too much. So like I need to recover from all this goodness.
Yeah, the sabotage is not where the mind thinks it's going to be, right? Because in our mind, in our story, just as you said at the beginning, like one day when, right? One day when I'm on vacation, one day when I have that baby, one day when I have that romance, one day when I'm enlightened, you know, like, all of that one day when I'm XYZ and it's just going to be like, oh, but ironically, that's the very trigger that creates this run. Not for me. Not for me. And I can think of so many instances where people were right on the edge of an incredible life transforming insight. Like we'd been walking towards it in our one-on-one sessions for like 6 weeks and they were sitting right there. And then I get this like, you know, not for me. I don't really need to go further. Like, I'm going to turn left here and you know, I just want to pause or I just want to, you know, like it's like, And when you guys were talking, I was thinking about this beautiful time where I watched that same sabotage movement go across a whole group of people at one time. And it's just like you were saying, like, it was this soft, profoundly soft, sweet day. And there was four of us in this really, really beautiful cabin in the woods, like just everything you think of when you think of cozy cabin woods. It was a vacation and there was just this like gorgeous sunset to the morning or sunrise in the morning. And it was just too amazing. It was too fulfilling. Everything was too, it hit such a perfect note. And that that moment just sort of flowed or spilled into this effortless but incredibly beautiful brunch with this amazing food and perfect coffee. And that just spilled into the next moment of a calm and collective sort of deep presence, this like alive awe and stillness of like the forest, you know, the cabin, the like people. Mm. And we kind of sat on this dock afterwards and we just looked out at the forest lake and it just flowed and spilled into the next moment, which was like naps outside on these hammocks. And I remember being in this like really cozy, like sweet little blanket looking out at this gorgeous woodland that's like echoing peace. And then that kind of spilled into the next, like a collective, like whole group wakes up. And it's just so, so lovely to like go for a walk around the lake. We just found ourselves in the next moment, which was a drive into this super cute little town, which was the next moment, you know, it just spilled into these like adorable little shops and these beautiful little purchases. And then that spills into the most beautiful restaurant with this incredible food. Later we find out that it had a Michelin star, but we just stumbled onto it. No reservations, just sort of wandered on. And I was on the drive back that I could feel this like collective gremlin emerging out of everyone, like all four people and myself included. And it's this contraction. And it was just that the moment was in this kind of flow for so long. So 12 hours apparently is very long. Too much peace, 12 hours. And it had this like spaciousness that was a domino effect, right? One spaciousness was the next, was the next, was the next, was the next. And it was like our baggage, our pain bodies, as we say here, began to be like, this is too much. This is too big. Like, peace here is gonna keep dominoing. You know, like where am I in all this? So it's like these little bits start pushing for contraction inside of the expansion. And then like just like what you guys were describing, something inside of us is actually available for that contraction. Like, it's true. I need to go. Like, yeah. I need to get a smoothie. There's too many dolphins or something. And it's so subconscious. It's subconscious, not conscious. Because if it was conscious, you know, we would have had enough space to challenge it, right? To notice the contraction as it was beginning and pierce it, right? Right at the beach moment where you see the dolphins or right when the smoothie comes up. But because it's so subconscious, it hits from another place. It's like if I'm going to write the subtext for this subconscious voice, it's like, I don't know where I am out here. There's just this day spilling. There's just this energy pushing all of this beauty. And so who am I? In that sense of fulfillment, there's too much spaciousness to feel myself. The contraction's like, let me find a problem. So there's an edge I can feel and sense myself. Let there be an injustice or not good enough or even like just an intimacy phobic withdraw so that I can like feel myself in the contraction. I can like, there's me, you know, like we're just in this flow. Life is putting all these beautiful things up under us that we didn't even imagine. Like I didn't control this. So if I start sniffing out a problem, you know, if I start vigilantly tracking everything, or if I start vigilantly tracking a schedule, like, what are we going to do tomorrow? Or da, 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 da. Suddenly, boom, there's me. And I'm back in the middle of it.
I've been like bobbing my head vigorously because I so hear that. I so agree. It's like the separate self needs some kind of problem or identity to anchor itself. Because it's used to running low grade in the background, referencing, this is a problem, I'm a problem, you're a problem, the moment is a problem, he's a problem, they're a problem, it shouldn't have happened this way, blah, 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 blah. And it's just sort of running, and you're running with it, like, it's just the way it is. And sometimes you have these moments where the ground beneath your feet falls away because the moment gets so loud, or because there's so much intimacy and, like, spaciousness. And you lose yourself to it. And then the separate self is like, remember me. And then before you know it, it's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I've almost forgot you. How can I indulge you? How can we make sure that we have something to anchor again? Like, let's look for a problem together in the kitchen, at home, not with the dolphins.
Oh, amazing. But, you know, I'd like to add here that, yes, the point of reference can be all these problems, the point of reference for a separate self, but it can also be all the things that are really great, unfortunately. Like, that's my habitual sort of where I fall for it. It's like, my life is so wonderful, and here are all the wonderful things. And then it's almost like the separate self, the gremlin, the pain body goes and starts to count its treasures, like, oh, this is really good. And then, yes, this is great. Or we love that one, don't we? And these are all points of reference, as well as like, okay, so here's how I know life's good, as opposed to, you know, what Cami said, life's just doing itself, where the eye has no idea. It's just spacious and lovely, but there's nothing to be had, you know, in my hands.
You're so right, Leela. I totally had an example of like when I went to the sort of, oh, this is so great, look at me. I got a painting commission recently, and it was a huge source of pride that this commission came in, because it was from somebody I really admire. And I showed up at this network event, which was for film work. So it wasn't even art related, and nobody asked. But I was like, I got a commission. Let me tell you about my commission. Have I told you about my commission? Like, so in your face. And as it was happening, I could kind of feel inside of myself, like, this doesn't feel grounded. I'm sort of outside of myself watching the whole scene, but also I can't stop it. And it was obviously Lala sort of sweeping me away. And we call the Lala when it's a fantasy that we escape to, when there's resistance running that we don't want to face. So we're like, you know what, let's just go hang out in this, like, yay, La 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 realm. And that same evening, I kind of sobered up a little bit. And so once I had left the event, I was like, I was such an asshole. I saw all my friends, all these people I was dying to catch up with, and I didn't even ask them like how they were, because I was so busy telling them about myself. So I ended up messaging some of them on Instagram being like, I am so sorry, I didn't ask about how you were. Please tell me like everything you've been up to.
You know, it's so beautiful the way you pointed that out, Cam, because I think also a lot of people relate to that if they start like, you know, some level of practice, right? So they're listening to this podcast or a different podcast, and suddenly they're just like, you're right, like they're at a networking event or family event or whatever. And they're like, but did you inquire that? But is that what's really true? like these key words of like, can we just breathe together? You know, like, can we just have a moment and just like really reflect and process what we're thinking here? Like it starts to be that, like holding this thing in my hand, you know, like this, you know, I have this cute little YouTube called like, Help, My Partner Thinks They're Enlightened. And all of the like ways that we try to, this separate me grabs this trophy, you know, I got it now. I got this. And this is how I'll like protect myself against like falling into an abyss. And, you know, because I'm wearing the teacher's hat sitting in the seat, I get to watch this, my student systems, and I'll see that it's like one day of peace. Okay. Okay, 2 days of peace, like, I don't know if we can tolerate that. 3 days of peace. Like, honestly, people have to, like, they have to, like, sometimes I call it, like, an Olympic sport, like, to maintain 3 days of peace. Because then that's where it starts to really get uncomfortable for the, like, where's my problem? Where's me? You know? Like, whether it's, what's the problem here, sniffing something out, or how many trophies can I hand in my hand, either direction. But after 3 days, and so, like, after 3 days, things are going to get very, very spooky for that separate me. And I'll watch people that I'm working with, and I'll see that moment, because, of course, that's what we're building to, if not much more. And suddenly I'll watch this like convinced, like really intensely, that the moment's just too quiet, too spacious, too hot, you know, and they have to run from the peace. It's like, it's, we will sometimes say it's like the subconscious clicks to grid, which is to say it goes so fast, you know, so that subconscious moment clicks in, and it clicks in with this urgency, intensity that makes us think there's something real about that instinct to run. So if you add this, like, you know, boil up of intensity, you know, like, right, and then add urgency to that, you know, drop that, like, add this, like, now, you know, like this, like, now, and then add like a primal gut instinct of like, run. And so it's like the noise of that cacophony, right, will click to grid very fast. And then you're hooked before you even know it, and you're running, whether it's the smoothie or back home or the to-do list or whatever. Sometimes it's like literally you're in a car, like you find yourself in the car just driving somewhere. But it can also be what we keep saying is this, like, la-la, like we enshroud ourselves in a little bubble of fantasy, where you're wrapped in these happy thoughts that you're in control of. You're the one obsessing about this happy space with these, this bubble around you. Or it can look like, you know, boil up of intensity, the urgency now, and this instinct of run, and it just collapse. You know, that can also happen, and it's just a collapse. And that looks like sometimes we tune out with social media. You know, using social media as a way to just like totally disconnect from the moment. And the point is that it's really hard when it's that level of, I like to say, like, it's like a moving train, the urgency, the intensity, the run instinct, run for your life. It's like the, you know, this sudden click to grid, this moving train. So it's really difficult to stand in front of that and be like, whoa. None of these vibrations, this energy, this intensity, none of this instinct is representative of reality. Like, all these sensations I'm feeling are not data points for reality in this moment. They're data points for old stories. They're data points for my baggage, right? They're data points for the, like, habitual behavior bullshit. And it's really challenging to just stand there.
I feel like that's such a great takeaway as well. Like, checking, is this a data point for reality or for a story that's, like, spun out? Because it feels like you don't even realize you're on the train, but you kind of wake up inside of it and see that it's running at full speed.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole challenge of it, isn't it? That it starts so unconsciously. As you said before, Kieran, if there was enough consciousness, if there was some awareness, even just like a hair width of awareness, you wouldn't get on the train. We wouldn't get on the train, I'd say. But it starts unconsciously because there are these pieces that are just so identified. It's like, yeah, it feels like me. And then we're not seeing them yet, or, you know, awareness doesn't have enough space yet to see them. And oopsie, yeah, I just got to experience that for myself over Christmas, because usually I do spend Christmas in California with Kieran and Cam and other beloveds, and it's super delicious. Like, you hear us talk about it here on the show all the time, don't you, decoders? This time around, however, I wanted to stay in Switzerland to be with my family here, you know, it being the first Christmas without my dad. And I just had met a lovely man, etc., etc. So many reasons. And there was also the thought of, I'm grown up now. I can do delicious during Christmas with my family and other people. Which maybe in part was true, but I started to compromise here and there. I left a moment here and there. And yeah, unconsciously, I got on the train. And it was just moving, 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 moving. And at some point after New Year's, I noticed this doesn't feel right. There's something really wrong. Like, this isn't how I usually experience the world or myself or, you know, the moment. But damn it, like, to really stop there and pause felt impossible on my own. Like, thank God I'm surrounded by these very, very clear friends who made it very, very clear, like, girl, you're on a train and you need to get off it. And, you know, it's so crazy to see how easily this unconscious movement can take you. Like, even me, for fuck's sake, I'm not saying this to brag, like, look at me, I'm so great. But, you know, I do have almost like 10 years of practice in my system, lots of silence, lots of presence, enough integration, but bam, the right trigger or fantasy shows up and you're off to the races, you're on the train and it's really hard to get off.
Yeah, you know, I have something to add here. Sidebar, I don't know if it's totally fair, because I notice that little happy bubble, that little, you know, mental obsessive stories that we wrap ourselves around, it's so rare for me. I recently noticed something about the little happy bubble that was very cool. So I was in this connected, very centered place, and someone else with a massive pain body came in and projected it all over me. Now, as a teacher, this happens quite a bit. You know, truth is painful to our baggage and our pain bodies, and it's way easier for a pain body to point fingers and make other people the problem than pop our false stories. But luckily, truth will register. Clarity is felt even when enshrouded in our story. There's this grace. The grace is that we can still feel truth. We can still feel clarity. We can smell it out. And so my friend, the pain body puker, was trying to aggressively avoid an important task in their walled off little happy bubble. And because it was theirs to deal with, and not only did they not deal with it, it got super fucked up because they were in this like false trance. So it appeared, the appearance was that this task was now amplified with some urgency. And, you know, here I am in this connected place, and then this puke of pain body lands on me. And the appearance seems like now you have to go fix this bullshit or it'll fall on everybody, including you. And I don't know if that sounds familiar, decoders. I have to fix this shit. Nobody can do this. Like, if you need to do something, only I can do it, you know, kind of bullshit. So it's a tricky, tricky, tricky moment. Somebody's in pain body. They puke it on you. It triggers your stuff. Right there. It's a little sticky. So normally I would wade in with some inquiry to pop any little stories coming from anywhere. But instead on this day, I didn't. I just literally walked away. And then, so this is the cool part. I went into this la-la bubble. And because it's so rare for me, I could watch it. And I got to watch how the pain body puking or the baggage meltdown on me will bounce someone into this happy la-la bubble. And I just had this like light go off. I was like, oh, like I could see the micro moment of how that bounces, you know? And I was like, oh, this is exactly what it's like when you're in a romantic relationship where this happens a lot, right? Your baggage triggers the other person's baggage, you know, and you get these like, you know, meltdowns or late night process talks or whatever it is, right? And it flips you into this happy romance bubble, right? Or this or if this is the case in your workplace, like, or your friend group or whatever, if you have people in your life that are quite out of alignment, whether it's always or for a moment, out of the flow, and then they end up like puking that baggage everywhere and then really messing shit up. And it starts to feel like it's all being put on your plate. And anyways, it's a funny example because like it only lasted for me like 30 minutes total. Because, you know, my tolerance is so low for the bubbled off candy floss pretending to be nourishment, you know, happy story. Like it's loud. It's not the presence of the moment. It doesn't have the resource of source. It doesn't have that ground, which as an elf is so important to me. So I can't stand it. For me, it's like eating a bucket of pure sugar, you know? So it's so awful. I can't handle it for very long. But in this case, I had to very intentionally reconnect to silence and reconnect to my body and reconnect to the moment until I could feel that ground. And then it's still me in this moment with a very tricky situation. There's still this sticky, who's going to deal with this now twisted, messed up, amplified, urgent task? But like you decoders, I listen to this podcast. And I know life's going to provide a path. Life's always going to provide a path that is going to be spacious, that's going to have groundedness to it, ordinariness to it. It's going to come up underfoot. It's going to be real, not a mental spin or repurpose or reposition of mine. And so I'm going to have to wait for that intelligence against this vibe of this urgency. It's going to crash. Luckily, my practice is deep enough, and luckily, I'm always available to take space. So I left the lava bubble. I was, you know, like still me in the tricky situation. I went for dinner, and you know, the person, the pain body puker, was at dinner. So after dinner, so we're like an hour later, I found the bubble was like this subconscious siren call. And again, I'm so lucky because it's so loud to me. So I could hear that micro moment of it sort of calling me back, you know? And it had this very seductive quality to it. It's like, wow, it was playing at different harmonies to hit just below consciousness. It was so fascinating. Anyways, it did take a lot of my conscious awareness to not get drawn back in. And I could see it was because I had fed it. I had fed that wolf, as we sometimes say in this podcast, that 30 minutes that I indulged the candy floss happy story bubble, gave it the strength for this quite, it knew where to sing the song, you know, like it knew where to hit. So it was just a 30 minute indulgence, and it was a strong siren call to come back against the tide of just standing still and waiting for life to provide a solution when urgency, intensity, and an instinct of like, deal with this, or as we've been saying earlier, run, like to just stand there and not get lured into the call.
Thank you for the play-by-play of the siren call. I find myself much more prone to Lala these days, so I don't often have enough time to examine it because I'm like, before I realize it, I'm like, oh, I'm coming. What do you have to offer? Lure me in. And so, yeah, I mean, it has this allure. It has promises about, you know, a better future or something. It kind of has like a song, like, if you come with me, I will give you everything. There's a very magnetic pull to it. And it can also be like, let's double down on the problem or double down on the fantasy, like double down on, you know, this reality that exists over here, not where you are, but like over there in the land yonder, like, come. You don't have to be where you are. You can follow me over here. And the funny thing is, it's the complete opposite. If you go for the fantasy, you're either living in this candy floss world that Kieran described, or maybe it has like a sort of despair, hell flavor. But if you go for the fantasy, you get one of those two, versus if you choose presence, you get everything. Kieran often says, choose God, you get everything. Choose the illusion, and you get nothing at all. And I've had this many times where it felt like, especially when I was getting my divorce and my don't belong pain body was like, you're all alone. And it was like, no, like choose God. It doesn't matter if the mirror right now is like scary and there aren't many sort of physical people I can rely on. Like I choose God. And then over the last few years, there's just been this like flourish of like just gorgeous friendships coming out of nowhere. And I know 100% is because I chose to see like through the illusion. You know, I don't belong is not real. Like, of course I belong. It's just God. It's just Source. You know, that was one time I kind of leaped over it. And then it comes for you again in a different shape. So, yeah, recently it's come for like a very core identity. So the most recent example I had of this was literally just last week. Like Leela said, despite having all this practice and access to silence, the temptation is just always going to be there. So I had this thing that got pointed out in me surrounding my commission and to my little pain body that had previously been very much unconscious, like unbeknownst to me. It was in hiding. When this thing got pointed out to the pain body, it felt like a total affront. Like, how fucking dare you? Who are you to disturb this realm I've built for myself? How dare you confront me with an alternative that doesn't allow me to hold this position? You know, like this me, this thing that is mine, that I have cultivated for eons. How dare you? Like, it came in hot and loud. And so I had like a 40-hour battle of being so tempted to give in and to just keep running with the story. And like Kieran said, there was a grace there. So I knew it wasn't real, but it felt so real. And I knew the only thing to do was drop it, but it feels so good in my hand. And, you know, luckily I have you guys, I have tons of support and this practice. So I had the tools to be like, is this real? Yes or no? Even though the pull is so magnetic. And it got to the point where it was like, okay, here's the choice. Do I want source? Do I want reality? Or do I want to give in and run with this fantasy? And so through grace and maybe a sprinkle of willingness, it was clear I want the truth. No matter how seductive the siren call is, I want to stand for truth. So gradually it subsided. And having come through, I'd say most of it, or this iteration of it, it just this is only the tip of the iceberg. But having come through kind of that sort of siren call, the story that it had built and that felt so important and urgent and true just collapsed like a house of cards. It feels like once you see through it, it has absolutely no substance in comparison to just the simplicity of this moment. And so you don't want to go and build a life on that because it'll fall apart. And really, it just revealed a facet of pain body that had previously been very, very like allowed to be hidden. But now she's more in the light. And so I can shine more awareness on it before it gets too out of hand.
Cam, you're pointing out something beautiful, too, which is that people can puke Lala on you. People can puke fantasy on you. Not just the rah-rah, right? And we really see this in celebrity culture where we watched celebrities be so crazy delusional, you know, and part of the reason they're being so delusional is we will say in our community, in our culture, we'll be like, there's just too many yes men, right? There's too many people agreeing with this la-la or sprinkling this la-la on people. And they're just in this crazy delusional space. So I love that piece you're bringing in also.
So yeah, you want to surround yourself with people that are going to tell you the truth to your face. Sidebar.
So ultimately, there's one week in one of our classes called The Course in Fearlessness, where you get an email, and I did print out the email years and years and years ago. It's on my fridge, and it says, listen, life's going to come at you with Maya, with the illusion in the shape of temptations or terrors. And your job, quote unquote, is to see through it all again and again and again and to see God. And every time I see it, really read it, it lands so deeply like, yeah, damn it. Don't fall for the illusion. See through it. But, you know, it's kind of embarrassing to admit how many times I see it, I read it, and I bounce right off of it.
I think that a great point we're saying is like, ultimately, it's our job to pierce the illusions. Now, the illusions can come in a positive fantasy, or the illusions can be this kind of shame, humiliation, rage, despair, grief, some version of please make me smaller than the moment because the moment is too beautiful, it's too cool. And it's our job. You're the only one who can look to reality, who can look to truth and stand steady, refuse to fall. It's our job to be looking to reality and truth. And where we refuse to do that is pointing to a saboteur. It's going to point to one of our belief systems, like a baggage, a bit of a story that we maybe haven't fully seen, or we're not actually that available to step off of it, as Cam has beautifully illustrated. And to that end, I'm going to say, never underestimate the power you have to sabotage your peace, which is to never underestimate the call to sabotage each step towards peace that you make. And as we were saying here, we're not talking to beginners in practice, somebody who just got their first big insight. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to Leela. I'm talking to Cami. I'm talking to all of us decoders. There is never a time that you can underestimate the power of our saboteurs.
I think Papaji was once asked by a devotee if, you know, Papaji having attained enlightenment, if he still needed to be vigilant of the mind. And Papaji replied, until my last breath.
All right. Nothing more to say. Mic drop moment. We love you, decoders. We'll be back next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening. We obviously love hearing what you think. Your feedback helps us make a better show for you to listen to. So feel free to comment, and you can do it at Facebook, which is the Humans Decoded Podcast. And if you're not on social, you can always email any questions to us at outreach@kierantrace.com. And thanks for listening. We love you.